A horrible mosquito-borne virus, Zika, has caused a frightening scourge in Brazil over the last few months. A dramatic increase in babies born with abnormally small heads, a condition known as microcephalus, which can lead to severe cognitive and motor abnormalities, has been associated with Zika. The Zika virus was first identified in the 1940s in Uganda. Its visible symptoms are seemingly mild, a rash, fever, swollen joints, and reddened eyes, but it produces unseen nerve damage in adults and severe birth defects in babies. Not nearly enough is known about the relatively rare Zika virus. At a special meeting on Thursday, WHO Director General Dr. Margaret Chan said the virus, which has been linked to birth defects and neurological problems, was spreading explosively.
Conditions associated with this year's El Nino weather pattern are expected to increase mosquito populations greatly in many places. The level of concern is high, as is the level of uncertainty.
The WHO will meet next week to decide if Zika should be declared an international health emergency, as Ebola was in 2014 in West Africa. Dr. Marcia Castro is associate professor at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Welcome to The Takeaway, Doctor.
Hello.
So what do we need to know about Zika virus? How does it work? I'd never heard of it before this report began to emerge from Brazil.
Yeah, so that's the problem. We don't know much about Zika virus. It started in Africa, and in 2013 and 14, we had the largest epidemic so far in French Polynesia. And in fact, that's the hypothesis, that the virus came to Brazil when there was a competition, a canoe competition in preparation for the Olympics that happened in Rio, and there was a team from French Polynesia. And the reason that makes us to believe that that's the connection is because the strain of the virus that we have in Brazil is the same of the Asian strain, not the African one. So that's probably how it got introduced. And the mosquito is all over the country because, we've been endemic for dengue for decades now. So it found the ideal environment to spread. The connection between Zika and microcephaly is just a strong correlation at this point, as Dr. Chan said. But it's kind of scary because since we don't know much about the virus, we don't know the mechanisms, the potential mechanisms that could cause microcephaly. So just to give you an example, only one in five people will have symptoms of Zika. And therefore, we have no idea if a pregnant woman contracts Zika but does not have the symptoms, if that's going to cause or if that's going to generate any problems in the fetus. So there's a lot of unknowns which a little bit ties our hands in terms of what we can do.
So we've got the incidence of microcephalic babies in Brazil, mm-hmm. and we've got evidence of the actual mosquito with this Polynesian strain in mm-hmm. Brazil. But the mechanism in terms of the symptoms presented by a pregnant mother and the then outcome of microcephalic birth, there's no real connection there. It's just sketchy.
Yeah, what we have is we found the virus in the amniotic fluid of one mother and a few babies that died after birth that had microcephaly, had some of the organs infected with the virus. That's as much as we know. So there is evidence that the virus can go through the placenta and infect the fetus. But how that works, when during the pregnancy the mother contracts the virus and therefore that causes an impact in the fetus, these are all questions that we need to answer. So one problem is we don't have a test for Zika, an effective test for Zika. That's another problem.
So if Zika emerges in the United States and you say it's unlikely that there would be local transmission, it's not an argument for quarantining people. It's an argument for being vigilant about the presence of mosquitoes.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't make a lot of sense to quarantine people. What you have to do is to have a very, very strict monitoring for breeding habitats and to try to control the mosquito. And as long as you become aware of those cases that are being important, you can treat them soon enough so you can prevent the disease from spreading.
Now, there's no chance I'm going to get someone from Harvard to go out on a limb here, but it just occurred to me, does this have anything to do with climate change or radically different climate temperatures, average temperatures around the world?
Well, the impact of climate change in vector-borne diseases, I mean, for sure there's going to be an impact. But for a country like Brazil, which is already in the tropics, the mosquitoes were already there, there is not much of an impact at this point. In the U.S., we also had the presence of the Aedes albopictus, which is the name of the mosquito here. It was present already. If it's going to expand in the future because of increases of temperature, that is a possibility. But we already have it. And you take the south of the U.S., the southeast of the U.S., the mosquito has been there for a long time. So it's not going to make it worse. The potential for transmission is there already.
Marcia Castro, Dr. Marcia Castro, is Associate Professor at the Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health. Thank you so much, Doctor.
Pleasure talking to you.